Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
The process of securing economic freedom as an American citizen is not based on race, gender, or religious affiliation, but the knowledge required to properly manage one's personal finances in order to secure financial empowerment and independence. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to bring you another most informative episode tonight entitled The Road to Financial Freedom, Managing Personal Finances. And I am elated to have an expert tonight in that field, in the person of Ms. Shatiria Stearns, who is the CEO of the Stearns Group. And later we're going to have her come on and give us some information and guidance. I hope you would join us. As you know, the number is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We're happy to entertain your question, your comments appropriately. We only ask that you offer something that is relevant to our topic and something that is meaningful, and I think in that way we can grow together. To our newer listeners, please look at our website, www.bfcinstitute.com, and you can find information about this traveling lecture series, which we're endeavoring to take now to 14 different cities. We began here in Nashville, Tennessee, where our home base is. We're looking at expanding that message there, and that's in large part the basis of our show, our radio show, and our blog talk dialogue is to help us to get that information out and have that conversation meaningfully. All right, with that being said, I'm going to now go to our monologue because I'm anxious to get our guest to come in here, Ms. Shatiria Stearns with the Stearns Group. She has a lot of very good information to share with us tonight. And we're looking forward to it. As we mentioned earlier, the topic for tonight is The Road to Financial Freedom, Managing Personal Finances. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verses 6 and 7 reads in the King James Version accordingly. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. There is certainly a lesson to be learned from the text. My hope is before the night is over, we will gain great information accordingly. Often the conversation about finances is framed from the context of the haves and the have-nots, racial orientation or affiliation, and even systematic oppression. Now, while there is a historic basis for claims of social and economic injustices and exploitations of various American subgroups, specifically the African American subgroup, in 2017, I want you to know that it is both possible and most importantly necessary for every responsible adult, irregardless to your gender, to your race, to your creed, or what you come from, to manage your personal affairs in order to be self-sufficient and independent as an American citizen. Perhaps, though, the barriers for many good people is the understanding or the lack of understanding of how one should manage their personal affairs. Doesn't make you a bad person. It just says that there's a need for that instruction. Now, let's consider two areas of management. Typically, from a business standpoint, financial management refers to the efficient and effective management of money or funds in such a manner as to accomplish the objectives of a business organization. It is the specialized function directly associated with the topper tier of management or supervision. The significance of this function is not seen in what the line, but also in the capacity of staff for a particular business and overall for the. However, it's been defined differently by various experts in the field. Now, the term typically applies to an organization or company, as alluded to earlier, and their financial strategy for making money or profit. While personal finance, or what's known as personal life management, and our expert would talk more about that to us, refers to an individual's individual means by which they manage their funds or resources. It includes how to raise capital and how to allocate capital, i.e. Budgeting or capital budgeting, not only for long-term budgeting, but also how to allocate the short-term resources, like paying your regular bills monthly. It also deals with the dividend policies of any shareholders that a business might have. But more specifically, and probably most apropos to the audience that we're talking to tonight, as related to the management of an individual or a family's affairs financially. The Greek word orkinomos is appropriate, and it means the manager of a household or of a household's dealing, especially a steward, manager, or superintendent, to whom the head of the house or the proprietor has entrusted the supervision of the affairs. Further, the care of receipts and expenditures and the duty of dealing or dealing out proper portions to children or anyone else that you might be indebted to. What's most important is that we look at the fact that when we're looking at the individual's affairs, you must use some of the same principles and be disciplined as anyone who's trying to run a business. In fact, your household is a business. Scripturally, as we read in the text from Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, we see that there are certain things that children must be in, certain values instilled in children. And when they become responsible adults, those things will never leave them. The lesson that we gather from the text as well is that as a borrower, you're subject to be a servant to whomever you indebted to until such time as you work off that debt or it is excused. I'm excited now to have with us Ms. Shatiriel Stearns, who is the CEO of the Stearns Group based in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm going to open the floor to her to talk a little bit to us about who she is and what she does. And tonight I want you to give us a call and join us in the dialogue, 657-383-0944. Good evening, Pastor Waller. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
We're happy to have, mighty fine. We're happy to have Ms. Stearns on with us. Ms. Stearns, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Reverend Doctor and Pastor Waller. Thank you so much for allowing me to join you guys tonight.
Right.
Yes,
God bless you.
We're very happy to have you. Help me out. You can help me get my pockets a little bit fatter here. I want to weigh them down a little bit when we get through this.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So if you will, just take the floor and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with your business and whatever else you think we need to know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Shatiriel Stearns of the Stearns Group, and I'm a financial literacy coach. And basically what I do is I work with individuals, and I teach them about budgeting, teach them about how to improve their credit score and maintain it. But more importantly, Reverend Doctor, I help them address the behaviors that put them in situations where they are have poor credit or do not understand the value of money. See, here's the deal.
Right.
I can easily help someone purchase a house or get a car or rent an apartment and improve their credit score. But if we do not deal with those behaviors and start peeling back those layers 6 months, a year down the road, they're going to be in the same situation. And believe it or not, it's a psychology to money. You start peeling back the layers. When I consult with people, I find that oftentimes it's things that's tied to their childhood or experiences that they had that causes this behavior, and it's never been corrected or addressed.
Wow.
And it manifests itself in their lives and can wreak havoc. So we got to unpack those things and start dealing with them. Just to give an example, I had very poor credit. My score was 500. And then I had a life-altering event. My husband had a massive stroke. We had an infant, and then 7 months, he had learned how to walk, talk, everything all over again. And 7 months later, my mother-in-law had an aneurysm and passed. We went from a two-income family to one with four children. Now, you all know that kids still need stuff.
Right,
and
during
that period, I had an aha moment, like, why am we, if we had prepared better, we would have been, that situation would not have been as tough for us. Because here's the deal. Every 7 years, each of us are going to experience a life-altering event.
Right.
And we just got to do what we can to get prepared for that.
Gotcha. So it sounds like you're saying that things that are beyond our control, circumstances, right, are going to come. The more we prepare ourselves ahead of time, the better prepared we would be to absorb the blow for those things. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Just take, Reverend Doctor, you and Pastor Wallace, your lives over the last 7 years. Think of the things that you've experienced. You may have there may have been an illness. There may have been death, a change of a job. You may have sent kids off to college. All of those things impact your life. And what I'm saying is that they're going to happen. So what can you do in that situation? You just got to try to prepare for them.
Sure. You know, a lot of times we, out of hurt, I think, Ms. Stearns, and I think you alluded to this, we're quick to become defensive about our financial situation. And that makes it difficult for people like you, experts like yourself, to really be of much help to us. But I like your focus on understanding that there's a psychology to cycles of financial struggles and even poverty. Will you speak to that a little bit more? Kind of help us understand, what is it about our social orientation that might cause us to some of these circumstances?
Well, the thing, if you understand that oftentimes things are learned behaviors. Let me use myself as an example. My mom, a phenomenal woman, grew up in public housing. She was a single mom of four children. And as a result, she did not have good habits as it relates to money and finances. Never knew the value of money. We rented everything. And as a result, I learned that behavior. And I took that behavior on and even continued as an adult because I didn't know any different. To the realization that this is not how I want to live my life, struggling, living paycheck to paycheck, that's a sin. God does not want, he just has not called us to live in poverty.
Come on.
And oftentimes we have to be exposed to something different. Like, as an example, I teach classes at Oasis Youth Center and several organizations around workshops. And I ask a lot of them, why do you not have, and even adults, because it's young adults in these classes, why do you not have a savings or a checking account? You know what the response is? Well, my mom or my dad, they go to the check cashing place to cash their check.
I see.
So you're just saying how things can just be passed down from generation to generation. Never, they didn't even have an explanation as to why they do it. It's just something that I've seen my family members do.
I see. I see. You know what you bring that is unique? And tell me if I'm wrong here, Pastor. You know, I grew up in the housing projects of Chicago, so we share that experience. And my parents separated when I was young. My mother didn't ask to wake up being a single parent of 12 children, you know, under the roof with her. But that happened, right? And I appreciate what you're saying, how easy it is when you've been restrained from having materials for so long, you get to a point where you say, man, this is my chance now, and I'm not going to let nothing stop me. If I got a dollar today, I'm about to spend it.
Exactly.
That money's going to get spent because, see, look, this freedom right here. This is liberation right now.
I deserve it.
Talk to me. Yeah, I deserve this. I deserve this. Anything wrong with that, Miss Sun?
Absolutely not. But the thing is that it's all relative. So here's the deal. You have to understand that you have to come to a point where you have to determine what are wants and what are needs. And everybody has to make sacrifices. So if you are wanting to save for a home or there's something that you desire, you have to have delayed gratification until you get it. And I know that's easier said than done. But once again, we've got to unpack the reasoning by why maybe you're an impulse spender or maybe if you live your life like a Jones or want to keep up with the Joneses. We have to get to the root of that. And if not, we're doing people a disservice.
Wow. You know, Ms. Stearns, I taught in high school. I taught at Stratford High School for a number of years. And my children would come every day, and many of them had money in their pocket, but they claimed they were hungry, right? And, you know, I guess you know I bought their lunch and things of that nature. So one day, a fella said to me, he said, I need a dollar. I said, well, I don't have any more money. He said, you just got paid. I said, man, y'all just spent my allowance already. He said, you mean tell me you got to get an allowance? You work every day. What you getting an allowance for? I said, because my wife does a good job of managing our money and keeping me from giving it away to people like you. So that's my problem. You know, if I had $1 million a day, it'd be gone tomorrow, Pastor Wallace. Because I'd give it all out to folks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean well, but, you know.
And we have to use discernment because the word also says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat.
Watch it now. Watch it now. That'll preach right there. That'll preach.
He didn't give it to you for you to give it away.
Right. Right. Well, you have to be a good steward of it, right? You have to be a good steward of it.
Exactly.
Pastor, were you going to say anything?
Well, I said,
I appreciate sharing that with us. I'm one that's guilty of that. I think I put it in my book talking about I spent it at week, meaning that in my ignorance, you know, money didn't have no value to me at the time, nothing other than to just get some. And anything to be taught, because it is a learning behavior. And I myself, I was in the playground with these young brothers up here, one that was 15, one that's 27, I think the other one was 22. And I asked them a question, and remind me of what you all are talking about something being a learning behavior. So I asked them, I said, what do you think about what's going on with us and how we're doing towards one another? And he said, it really don't make no sense. He said, how are we, the one that's 27 said that. He said, it really don't make no sense. He said, it's already enough when they look on the news and the social media where they're seeing us being gunned down from time to time from the police force, police officers from time to time. And then he's saying, then here we are gunning each other down. He said, do we really understand? Because it really don't make any sense. And I think that is something that they're learning how to self-destruct. You know, all these things has to do with what are we going to do to make a change? I think that's what it's all about, from learning how to manage money to being responsible and productive, things like that. And I raised my hand and say, I'm number one, I was guilty of all of that. But thank God for change. And you said something that was valuable. If you don't work, you don't mean that's what you're supposed to do. But not many people know about what the Bible says, and that's another thing that you have to deal with, is getting the information to people who really don't know. So I'm appreciative of her being on tonight with us to share some good news. And Pastor Doctor, you keep going to be like you're doing. Maybe someone will get some information that will change in their lives. I mean, that's what it's all about. What can we do today? You know, because that's what the word says. This is the day that the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice in it. And so, you know, just being glad in this day without works, I think faith without works is dead. So let's absorb some of the information she's going to give us tonight. And, again, I'm grateful that she's on the air with us.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, listen.
You're very
welcome. Absolutely. Listen, we got a caller here, 10-8, last four digits of the phone number is 10-8. And the road to financial freedom, managing personal finance. That's our topic for tonight. Ms. Shisteria Stern, is on with us. She is a professional personal finance consultant with the Stearns Group. She's our guest tonight, who's sharing some very powerful information. Caller, how you doing this evening?
I'm pretty good. How's everybody doing?
Great. Feel free to jump in there. Caller, any questions for our guest tonight?
I think I'm gonna listen in on this. I think I can learn from this.
All right, that sounds great. All right, Ms. Stearns, you mentioned earlier that you travel around with workshops. If I were I don't have to be a pastor. We had some men that wanted to get together and do something positive and help improve our financial situation. How could we get you to come out and share your with us to help us out?
That's a great question. Actually, you can reach out to me. Give me a call at
615-593-2135.
Once again, that's 615-593-2135. You can reach out to me, or you can send an email to Starnes, Starnes, group1@gmail.com. And I can send you information about the types of workshops that I provide. I can send you my bio and also talk to you a little about what, you know, to find out what your need is. We can have this consultation to find out what your need is, because I would like to tailor the curriculum to your people or your participants.
Great. Now we will work, as we discussed off air, to have that information available if someone later wants to call. Also, the show is archived, so someone may listen later, and you feel free to reach out to us at BFC. We'll give that information out again, and I'll have Ms. Stearns' information, and we'll try to put that on the website so that you can contact her. So here's the thing now. Now, this is Talk Straight.
That's because we don't want to talk pussy. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is, some of us get up every day and we're not thinking about 10 years from now. We're living for the moment. Are y'all walking with me right now? Ms. Stearns, you walking with me?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
When you tell me, Ms. Stearns, you suggested me that I got to delay my gratification. Or in other words, I can't buy that pack of cookies I want to now because I got to save that $2.35 for a better day, for a rougher day. Now, I got a problem with that. I like you and everything, but I got a problem with that.
Absolutely, I understand. I think it.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ms. Stern. You got the flow.
No, I think that it's, let me just say this. That's hard. It's a challenge, okay? I mean, we all will fall off the wagon every now and then. It happens.
Okay.
But the thing is that you have to, what I find is that there's a lot of shame and a lot of people are very reactive as it relates to money, and there's a lot of shame as well. When people get in a financial bind or they have poor credit, that's something that they do not want to talk about. And then
right.
There's a lot of, and as it relates to what you're saying here, is we live in a popcorn society, and people want things now. You all of this marketing and this advertising and money that is poured into social media and everything, and you see everyone else has this nice life or these nice things, and you want it as well. And I'll have to say
right.
that, like a lot of our young people, they're watching videos, they're watching reality shows, and the reality is that these things are not even true. A lot of the times they're renting things, or you never really know what people are experiencing, what they're going through. So I think the main thing is that we got to focus on ourselves and not really be concerned about what other people have or the perception of what they have, because
right.
you never really
right.
know what's going on behind closed doors.
That's the truth. You know, I heard the story of Tony Braxton, a very popular rhythm and blues singer, and bless her heart, she got caught up in so much debt that she owed the IRS, you know?
Yes.
And she didn't realize that as she was spending all this money quickly that you had to account for that. You know, Wesley Snipes is another one, very popular figure, who spent money like Joe Frazier, the boxer, a number of people, and then they have to face the reality that, hey, we got to pay the piper, you know?
And it's unfortunate, you know, because they never learned those habits. They never learned the value of money. They had other people managing their money because they weren't good at it, and look, they were taken advantage of. And that can happen to
okay.
any of us. We
okay.
gotta know.
Okay.
We gotta know what's coming in and what's going out. We got a budget. There's no way around it.
Right, right. Now I've heard people say, if I got a dollar, I should take 10 cents, give it to the church, and take 10 cents for myself. How practical is that?
It's very practical, but let me just say that. Say this. There's two sides to a coin. It's practical. It may not be practical for someone that's already struggling and living paycheck to paycheck. As an example, we live here in Nashville. It's one of the hottest cities right now. Rent payments and mortgages and everything is so expensive, and the cost of living is higher here, but people are making minimum wage pay, and they can't even afford apartments. So people come to me and say, well, how can I save? And I'm barely making ends meet. And what I tell, I used
right.
an example with my youth about a week ago. I gave them a penny, and I said, let me share with you how important the importance of saving. I said, we're going to double this
okay.
penny over the next 14 days. And I had all the money in front of them. And over 14 days, just with their doubling that penny, just continuously doubling the money, they would have $163. So all I'm saying
okay.
is to start somewhere. somewhere, if you can only save a dollar a week or 50 cents a week, you're starting somewhere. Pay yourself first.
Okay.
I don't care if it's 50 cents or a dollar or $5. You got to start somewhere because you want to develop a habit because you're not going to always stay in that same place. So if you cannot manage $20,000, how you think how can we expect God to bless us with a million or 100,000?
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Because we're called to be good stewards.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, the topic is the road to financial freedom, managing personal finances. Our special guest is Ms. Shetiriel Stearns, CEO of the Stearns Group here in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to go to a brief break here to announce our lecture series. And when we come back, I got a question for you, Ms. Stearns. I'm going to need you to help me with something because I'm stuck. I'm on a cross, and I need to get down. I need you to help me get off this cross. All right, so when we come back from our brief break here, we'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Radio interview.
I think poverty to a large extent is also a state of mind. If you have the right mindset, you can take everything from them and put them on the street. And I guarantee you, in a little while, they'll be right back up there. And you take somebody with the wrong mindset, you can give them everything in the world. They'll work their way back down to the bottom.
This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Tonight we're talking about the topic, the road to financial freedom, managing personal finances. Our guest is Ms. Shetiriel Stearns, CEO of the Stearns Group. And we have with us our trustee panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, joining us tonight. Ms. Stearns, is Dr. Carson right?
I'm sorry, can I hear you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
All right. Did you hear Dr. Carson, Ben Carson?
I did, yes.
All right. Is he
correct?
Yes. Yes.
I think so. I think there's a lot of truth to what he's saying as it relates to poverty is a mindset. Think about it. People win the lottery, and they have these millions and millions of dollars. And the statistics show that a large percentage of the individuals that win the lottery, within years, they're broke.
Mm-hmm.
But it all ties back to that poverty mindset. You're right. You can.
Okay.
They don't know the value of money, so they blow right through the money, and they're back in the same situation. That's not uncommon.
Okay.
You used a prime example with athletes and singers, professionals. Same concept.
Okay.
Because it's all about the mind.
So how young should parents begin to introduce their children to the concept of financial literacy? Is it would you put an age on that?
Actually, I think you can, as soon as a child learns how to add money and subtract money. So I'm seriously, if they can add and subtract, and usually we start with kids. If I taught school for 5 years, you can start with kids. We started with our son at about 5 years old because he could recognize.
Okay.
And we had little jars that were clear, little jars, and he can put money in each one that he has to take to church, one for his savings. And one he can spend, because kids oftentimes are visual, so they can see.
Right.
And then if he doesn't do his chores, his pay gets docked.
Mm.
Parents, your teenagers, your kids in elementary and middle school, they can add and subtract. They need to be sitting down with you while you're creating the budget. It needs to be a part of the it needs to be a family affair. Because here's the deal.
Right.
Kids think money grows on trees. So if you sit them down and say, listen, this is our budget. This is what we have. This is only what we can spend, because they don't understand. How else are they going to learn if we don't sit down and talk to them? They're going to get it out in the streets or somewhere else, or they're going to have to fend for themselves. And seriously, they'll end up getting acquiring bad habits.
Is that right, Pastor Wallace?
Yes, I said it from the start, man. There's a lot of people, man, believe me, you know, the Bible states it very clear, and as I said again, not many people know about the Bible, because as I said, I was a witness of that person spinning their wheel after experiencing handling a lot of money, but my insanity wouldn't cause me to do it intelligently. And then I discovered later on, not only about the OJ singing that song, For the Love of Money, the Bible says for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. And so, you know, when she's out here expensive getting money that's just growing up, as she's saying, from a little child, and all of a sudden you get a dollar, you want to go spend 75 cents and, you know, have change and can't wait to go spend the rest of it when the time comes. And then once you learn how to become a person who loves to spend money, oh, man, as soon as you get it, you know, just like it's getting away from you. And I thank God that she's speaking about learning how to budget, something that I definitely was not familiar with at all.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
Especially when you're traveling through the speed of thought, man. I mean, you know, fast-paced life, things like that.
I don't want to be rude and cut you off, but Ms. Stearns, in Pastor Wallace's book on page 25, there's a picture of a young man kneeling down with stacks of money. You hear what I'm saying? Stacks of money.
Yes.
That was Pastor Wallace about 40 years ago. And I think he might agree that what you're saying is so right, that suppose growing up as an elementary school student, he learned how to budget and manage and properly use those resources. Where would he be today?
That is correct.
The only God knows. I mean, he would probably be, you know, I mean, I don't know his financial situation. He might be a multimillionaire. He might be, you know, teaching others how to build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so this can be life altering, and it can change the trajectory of their lives. Like right now, I'm putting together some measures so I can go in and start. There's already curriculums out there, but I really want to be able to go into schools elementary schools and middle schools and really start talking to the kids about finances and building wealth and things of that sort. I know there are some high schools here that have banks inside the schools.
True.
So this is so important, especially in our community, because we spend so much on material things that it is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
but you know.
Oh, my glory. Yes.
But, you know, Ms. Stearns, you said it earlier. a lot of children's behavior is learned from their parents. So it sounds like to me the focus has to be not just on the children, but the parents and the whole family. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Tell me about, is there a focus for your, when you do your empowerment workshops and seminars, do you focus on how the family itself can come around to disciplining itself and managing itself better?
I actually focus, I have different curriculums. I have one where I work with actual youth, and then I have another curriculum where I focus on adults. But that is something that will be phenomenal to actually bring the family together and teach them how to work together, because finances can bring up a lot of tension and anxiety and cause a lot of problems in marriage.
Right.
Think about it. It's one of the leading causes of a divorce is finances.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I put information out on social media about that as well, because it's imperative, and I think the families need to come together to plan, work on their budgets, talk about credit, and talk about those hard issues. A lot of times people are getting married, and they may not even know all the other's debts, because we might have some secrets and not bringing everything to the table. A lot of times I counsel clients and there's child support, it's a back child support and other things, and that can impact your life, your family's life. So we need to have some rich discussions about how to really be transparent about what's going on.
Okay. Now, I happen to know, and I think 1080 would agree with me, the caller that's online with us, I happen to know that there are good young people, particularly young males, who have reason that the quickest and the best way I know, kind of like Pookie, to provide for myself is to engage in things that are on the verge of being illegal, outright illegal, and being risky in nature. And that's largely because we tend to tell young men, go get a job. Now, I just came back from Columbus, Mississippi, one of our target cities, and we were working with the assistant chief down there on some projects and things that they're doing. And when we looked at the city, we found that a lot of the young men, 16 to 24 years old, those that are employed, they're working minimum wage jobs, right? So it's either work two or three jobs, or it's live at a certain income level where it's difficult for them to live the quality of life that they want. So it's so easy for them to say, you know what, as opposed to struggling like that, let me go get that quick fast money. Talk to me about that, Mr. Stern.
I think that it's what happens with a lot of young guys, that there are not a lot of programs out there to help them, to teach them how to be men, to teach our readiness and things of that sort. Remember, it goes back to what I was saying about start peeling back those layers to find out what the root is. A lot of our men are suffering from a lot of things, depression. There could be, especially with extreme poverty. Extreme poverty, there's a lot of diagnosed mental illness, depression. There is a lot of adverse childhood experiences. So we have to deal with those things first. As an example, I partner with OIC. And one of the things that the program manager told me is that we need to, my job readiness program is probably different from most, because I cannot expect a person to go to, I can help anyone get a job, but if I'm not dealing with the mental illness or the fact that they may not have anyone to keep their children and all of these barriers that are hindering them, what am I really doing? I'm doing them a disservice. So we gotta put that precursor in there and start dealing with those real issues that people are dealing with.
Sure.
So you,
I mean, that is
relates
so key.
To tie back to So what you're saying is that in the mindset is that why would I go out here and make minimum wage and struggling, and I can make that money, make money a lot quicker, even though there's some danger to it.
Right.
So that's how they, that's how they might be thinking, you know.
Sure, sure. And that's often, that often is the case. Go ahead, Pastor, what were you going to say?
Well, Pastor Doctor and another caller, I want to share something with you about how the sound and the power of money. They say actually have the power to talk to person to find it one time. And if you don't have a job, if you don't have one that's teaching you, you have all those things that she's talking about, which is valuable. Thank God that she's doing it. And I'm trusting we'll be in the next generation and the generation. And you will see once we learn how to deal with that. But when the enemy knows that you know no value, when it comes down to money, and all you have to do is get of it and learn how to spend it that week, because sometimes you're looking at what's going on right then and there. The good thing is something is moving ready to come. It's a certain place you want to go, and you have the money right now, and saving it is not a thing that's registered in my mind, because I want to spend it right now, because this is what counts. And there's a lot of that going on. And I think, you know, right now, power of money is ruling our young people. I mean, you know, I'm around on the ground out here in the streets. And it is a lot of kids that has a focus on getting the money. Sad to say. And I mean, it started very young now, even younger than when I was out there striving to get the money by way of hustling. And as a result of seeing others doing it. And we thank God for all the ones that is doing it in a manner of being productive, going on to get a job and maintaining it. You know, that's a beautiful thing. And we need more of that. And I think her teaching and her doing all that she can do would motivate others to find out the means and how to go about doing that, man. So this is going to be important, very important, I would say. And I just thank God again for bringing it up, even to me right today. I'm still that same person, you know, because I used to look out for my whole community when I was getting money. And even though the way I was getting it, you know what I mean, I was corrupting my neighborhood, corrupting my community. And then when I found out that I was doing that, it dawned on me and it hit me so hard, I had to fight to stop getting money just to go all the way back to where I don't have no money at all. And then when she said, you know, my status today, I'm doing a whole lot of work with little or no funds at all and helping a lot of people versus when I had a lot of money, I was destroying lives. I mean, I was corrupting my whole community. And so I'm just grateful for what you're saying on this night so I can know what to share with these young brothers and things once I do gather them together, like I'm believing God for, not only to teach them how to play and handle a basketball, but to also learn how to be productive. And so, again, I just want to thank you again as I tune in and listen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
A couple of things. I can see the benefit. I would love to maybe sometime in the near future sit down with you and see how we can work together with one of our workshops with the young men and have you do your piece with the financial training and the mindset. I like your focus on understanding it, not just being poor, but it's their driving forces behind it.
Yeah.
So, I want to ask this question to you, though.
Sure.
I'm a politician. I'm running for office, right? I'm a candidate for a political office. And I come to you and I tell you that I want your support. How would you frame what you know is needed relative to financial literacy and things of that nature in the context of me as a elected official allocating resources and opportunities for people to benefit from government support? What would you suggest to me?
Okay. So let me make sure that I understand your questioning. Are you saying from the standpoint, are you wanting me to make an investment, or are you wanting, as a politician, where do you, I foresee the funds should go or should be allocated to benefit the community? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I want you to vote for me and help me get in office so I can be in office.
Well, first of all, before I vote for you, I need to see if your beliefs align with mine. Because I'm not, I will not, and because I'm a strong believer, and I have to, and then I have to do some research and find out, like, how have you voted in the past? Who are you aligning yourself with? What are you doing?
Right.
What pact are you aligned with? Are you aligned with certain lobbyists? Who are you aligning yourself with? Because, you know, we can say one thing, but I'm a firm believer that you cannot mask who you are for long. It will eventually rise up, you know.
Right.
Your core never changes. So to answer your question, I might just say I respect you as a politician and what you're trying to do, but I don't agree with some of the ways that you vote in the past, or you can't have my vote.
Okay. You know, the month of May, Pastor Waller will tell you, we had a huge focus on things related to the electoral process, how to avail oneself, how to examine the candidate, how to develop in your own mind what you expect in terms of an agenda and things of that nature, right? And we talked about how one of the reasons that only about nationally 6 to 12% of the eligible voting population participates in the electoral process, and that's reflective here locally in Tennessee and in Davidson County, is because people have no real purpose or connection for politics, or I should say those who represent you in the political arena relative to even your finances.
It's so removed from them. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's so removed from them, so there's no connection, you know.
Sure.
They probably don't even think that it's not important for them to vote.
Right.
Yep.
And what happens is decisions are made. I like what you said. People are voting for things, and they're passing legislation that may not be in your best interest. I want to ask you, what do you think about in Davidson County, in areas like Davidson County, I know that they don't have an empowerment zone based on the federal government's model they had in the 90s. But what do you think about the concept of creating an economic empowerment zone in Davidson County that will make sure that residents here who are on the poverty level have an opportunity to take advantage of it and bring themselves up? What do you think about that concept, Ms. Stearns?
I think that's phenomenal, and I think it's very much needed, because what will happen, especially here, is I'm very, very concerned about people that are living below the poverty level here.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? I receive calls all the time, sometimes daily, where entire families have been displaced because someone has came in, purchased an apartment complex, or they've purchased a house or apartments, and they're giving the person 30 days to move, and the family's 30 days to move. They're being displaced. And it's sad, because greed is the root of it.
And unfortunately, a lot of people,
right, it's business. And oftentimes people are casualty of wars. It's a casualty of war. But these are lives that we're talking about here.
Right. I have discovered, and we talked about this on the previous show, and 1080 would agree with it, that he was one of our featured guests with another gentleman. And what we concluded, Ms. Starnes, is that it is not feasible or practical to walk up the street on the block where it's hot, if I could use the colloquial expression, and tell a young man, give me your dope and your guns, because he'll crack your head, split your head wide open. Don't do that.
Yes.
Because what you have done is basically told him that I want you to let go what you know works for you, and you haven't replaced it with nothing. Is that right, 1080? Am I right about that?
I feel the same way. I feel like, yeah, it's definitely going to be replaced with something. Without replacing with something, it's not going to make sense to the person who's already that far into, you know, into the street life.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be done on the front end. Maybe if they never got to that point for education a little earlier, maybe they would have came up with a better concept of get money.
Right. I mean, so Ms. Stearns, one of the industries coming to Nashville right now, you see all these buildings going up, and there is a shortage of workers, particularly in building cleaning and industrial cleaning. Now, there's an opportunity right there. Suppose there was legislation ensured that some of the poorest individuals, those who perhaps are least likely to get a traditional job and make $45,000, $50,000 a year, had an opportunity to be properly trained, not just to work a job, but to own their own cleaning services. Are you walking with me now?
And absolutely. I think it's a great idea.
They were trained as to how to negotiate a contract and manage a business that would allow them to take advantage of a need or supply something that was in great demand and need. Suppose that you think we can take some of them off the street then?
I think we can. The thing is that I'll tell you the situation of what we're going to run into is if they have felonies, because they have to be licensed and bonded, so that's a hindrance for a lot of our people, okay? I'll be real honest with you.
Can I stop you for a second?
Oh, no,
go ahead. Shorty. I done laid down for 5 years. I done a 5-year bid. but my girl ain't got no felony record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why can't we as a family start it? And, you know, she's a double minority. She's a female and an African American.
Mm-hmm.
Are you walking
That's
with me
right.
now?
Absolutely.
Now, what's going to stop me from doing the work?
Nothing at all.
It's all in the family.
So it's always, so my granny always says, more than one way to skin a cat.
You're right. My point is, you're right. That is often a barrier. And there are circumstances under which if people have the will and they have people that are honest with them about how they can even get around these barriers, I believe that they want to do that. I think most of our young men and women, they want to be happy. They want to be successful. They want to do the right thing, but in their minds, something or somebody is working against me. So I'm not going to even try.
That's
so what
are
we going to do about it? So what can we do about the, as far as the influences put on them, like far as the television and stuff, like far as the images they see? I mean, who's going to change that part? We don't control the media. There's certain things that come on the media. It's destroying the whole generation. I'm seeing more gays out there than I ever seen in my life. I see more gays than gangsters now. So I know it's the media that's producing these images and it's showing it a reflection in our youth.
Right.
Man.
That's where Ms. Stearns come in when she does the psychological piece that's associated with financial management, helping them to understand that if the TV is killing you, get rid of the TV.
That's right.
Is that right?
But it's very powerful than you think it is. It's more strategic than you think it is.
Yes.
But we don't control the media, and it's kind of hard, you know, to tell someone to cut their television off when there's networks out here. It'd be easy just never even to put it on TV, period, where it don't even exist.
I think you're right. And I think what you're speaking to, caller, is a dependency, a learned dependency on the television as a source of information, as a source of comfort, and as a source of entertainment. But when we retool and reschool our thinking such that we realize that that's not important to me, because that's not going to get me to the goals I set for myself financially. Now, let me be quiet, Ms. Stern. Help me out with that. Help me out with that.
Well, I think that, I mean, I can see both sides of the coin, okay? And if they are exposed, I'll give you a prime example. When I was a SIP kid, like I said, grew up in public housing. I played softball, and my coach, her family had a farm. Now, and we were all nervous, my team, we were all nervous about going out to this farm. But she exposed these city kids, these inner city kids, to something they had never experienced before. So we went to this farm. They had farm animals, horses, chickens, cows. It was just phenomenal. And it was so quiet and so peaceful. But because I was exposed to something different, I took that a step further. I would go camping. Because of that exposure, I started hiking. I learned how to horseback ride. Do you see what I'm saying? So I never knew something different existed until I was exposed to it. So I say this to say, like with my husband and I, with our son, we're very big on education and exposure are the keys. You don't need a lot of money or anything like that, but if you can expose your people to different experiences, they may think right now that all I have is TV or all I have is this, but exposure is key. And that one experience, it changed my life.
Right.
So I think that it's possible.
If I might, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No.
But Charles, you raise a great question, man. And if I might add to what Ms. Starnes is saying, as social beings, we live and learn largely by the example of other people. And what's really attractive about what we see on the television is that we relate to the imagery and the people that we see there. So what they do is highly suggestive to us. And there's an opportunity, Brother Charles, for us to redefine culturally what is entertaining and what has value for entertaining for us. You follow what I'm saying? Now, that may very well mean that the places you used to go, you don't go there no more. People you used to kick it with, you don't kick it with them no more because they don't share those values. The most successful people will tell you that there are people and things you have to cut out of your life in order for you to get and remain successful at what you're doing.
Okay.
So it's not something that you can expect to happen overnight. You know, but it's something that if we plant that seed and we work toward, we're focused and deliberate about it. And I appreciate what you're saying because it is so true. Now, Brother Charles, it's not just the TV. This device we call a cell phone, you got 24-hour access to what everybody's saying and doing. Sometimes I get tired of getting posts from emails and what have you about, you need to know what's going on in Twitter and what. I don't really need to know about all that. I don't care about it. I don't care what Kim Kardashian did yesterday or what somebody ate yesterday. I mean, you know, it ain't feeding me. But so your point is well taken. Your point is well taken.
It's a blessing and a curse at the same time. And it's going to be tough it's going to be tough on somebody young, you know, to be that responsible not to look at something for the first time. It's always the first time for everything. So that's going to be a tough challenge for somebody who's a teenager. Telling them not to look at what they've never seen before, whether it's good or bad.
Right. I'm going to tell you from experience, but I'm going to tell you from experience, Brother Charles. When my son was in fourth grade, he wanted what his cousins had, and that's that Xbox. Right? And I said to him, you can get it after you bring it. He was first year in fourth grade, I'm sorry. I said, when you bring your first set of A's and maybe one or two B's, then we'll talk about getting you one. And I showed him the money. Here's the money set aside for. Do you know he worked hard, man? He ran outside after school and said, I got it. I did it. I'm ready to go get it. So watch this, y'all. Watch this, y'all. Yeah. It was not a month. It was not a whole month before he totally lost interest in the desire to play the Xbox. You know why?
Yeah.
Because he had retrained himself to study. Because you can only play it on the weekend. You can play it through the week. You can only play it on the weekend. And guess what? It wasn't important to him no more. So it's possible to retrain young people to the behavior that we expect of them.
There you go. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we need programs, you know, in place for them, you know, that can help.
What about, as far as the role models they see, what can we do about that? I know we can definitely be, you know, lead by example as far as being parents. But far as, I mean, what is out there that motivates them to say they can be a business owner? Because when I look out the window, I don't see not one black business out here. So where's
what's that
scenario? I mean, I'm a barber. I got one myself. But besides me, I'm just talking about the majority. When I look out the window,
right,
it's not many black businesses out there that say you can be somebody out there. That's motivation, too. And it's not out there for them to see. So it's easy to go pick up those drugs and be like that rapper versus being like Pep Boys at Burger King. That seems like that's a dream. It's more of a reality.
That's right.
That's a
Ms. Stearns, you want to address that?
I think that we just have to tap there. Well, first, there are a lot of there are quite a bit of black-owned businesses here in Nashville. But I think that finding that will mentor and volunteer to mentor, that's going to be your issue.
Okay.
It's going to be your issue, just finding individuals that will be willing to volunteer. I used to do a lot of volunteer work, you know, before I got married and everything, and I still do volunteer work now.
Okay.
And I'm going to be real honest with you. This is kind of the hierarchy that it plays out. White women are the top in volunteering. White males, then you have black women, and then black males. For some reason, a lot of black men are at the bottom of that tier as it relates to volunteering. And really, we need them at the top.
Uh-huh.
So that's the challenge. I mean, and I'm not saying that, you know, white men and white women and black women cannot do a good job, but our kids need to see someone that looks like them.
Right.
As an example, my mentor, a black mom, I'm a black, her children are grown. She's a single mom. She was debt free. She's debt free. Owns her own home, a car, everything's paid for. But she's someone that looks like me.
Right.
So when I see her, I feel like my goals are attainable. Not saying that someone else can't mentor me as well, but she looks like me. So when she speaks to me, is very relatable. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
sure.
Oftentimes we may have like someone of other races that are coming in and trying to mentor our kids, and there's that relatability. You know, you have to be able to relate to people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an issue. So it really comes to, I say this, there are a lot of amazing black men that are doing some wonderful things as it relates to mentoring and stuff like that, but it's not enough. It's not enough.
Just doing it.
That's our problem. That's the problem.
You're renting a building. They don't even own the building. The ones that you see black that have a business, most of them don't own the building or the land right there. So discouraging.
That's why we can help them with their credit.
So I wanted to say this, and Brother Charles raised a great point. Disposable income, as I understand it, is income that you have after you have paid all your bills and your debts. This is money that you have left over. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And the Chamber of Commerce the Middle Tennessee or Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce, last time I checked, they indicated that within the African American community, we have a $1.5 billion disposable income at least, and that may have changed since the last time I looked at it. And what that tells me is there are resources, but there's not a will to do as Ms. Thorns is saying, and that is for the most successful business owners and proprietors to go back to the hood and do like Du Bois said, each one teach one. What did I go wrong there, Ms. Thorns?
I agree with you totally that, you know, as in terms of, you know, just reinvesting in our communities, that is imperative to our community.
But now let me play my own devil's advocate, Brother Charles. Now, I didn't work hard to do my business now, just like you. And some knucklehead want to tear that down, want to mess it up, want to mess over my money. I ain't with that, man. I don't mind helping you, but you ain't gonna mess me up, man. Is that right, y'all?
I hear that a lot. That's how tight money is. You can't even afford to lose in this. I would say to me,
right.
I have enough of it to spend. I mean, that's what goes on our community, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
Huh?
I'll tell you what, there are funds I discovered in my studies as a political candidate. There are funds that are allocated from governmental budgets that are really supposed to be reinvestment in the people that those taxes were raised for in their name, but they're not getting to those people, right? Hood is one of the major areas where monies have come from the federal government, supposedly matched by the state, sent to the local government. But the people that need it the most are the ones that get the least from it. And I would argue that it's largely because they're not aware that they first have a right to it, and then the process is to go and avail themselves of that. But then the other thing is, and this is where the soft skills come in, you can't expect nobody to just give you $1 million for you to throw it away. You got to have some sort of solid plan to show how you can benefit from it, reinvest in it, and contribute back to society. Is that right, Ms. Stearns?
And there are organizations out there that can help, you know, put together business plans, help with loans, different types of funding, going out to government contracts. There's a lot of resources out there, and they're free.
Wow.
Okay.
The SBA, Small Business Association, Pathway Women's Business Center. You do not have to be a woman to actually go there to get these free
classes.
Most
people don't know that.
Four is another.
SBOR
4.
That's
another organization.
Or a form of income showing that. My understanding of it, I thought you had to have either a form of collateral, or you can show with the bank that you're making. But no, if you want to take out $1 million, they want to see you about $500,000 yourself that you can put in the account yourself. They can see you paying it back before they even give you the loan or a business proposal. But more often, they want to see you making the money pretty much before you even ask for the loan.
That's not necessarily the case. There are a lot of different programs out there. In fact, Synovus Bank. Claude Watley has some alternative financing that are not necessarily credit score driven. You do have to have been in business for, at least a couple of years and showing that your money is flowing through your business. Pathway Women's Business Center, they have some initiatives in place where they can make small business loans. So, once again, there are resources out here, but oftentimes we don't know about them.
Right.
And oftentimes what we don't know, it hurts us. And I'm going to say something else, Reverend Doctor. And, just tap me on my hands if I step over the line.
You're doing
here.
Fine.
Just tap
You're
me
doing
like
fine.
I'm going to say
You're
this.
You're doing fine.
I tell, and it frustrates me so much. Oftentimes we get information and it's not accurate. And let me say this. I'm not saying that it's always malicious or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But we will get something. If someone will give us some information and it's not accurate, and we'll run with it. And we do not take the time out to find out and investigate it ourselves. And it cripples us. I have so many people I counsel and I work with, and they'll tell me something. And I was like, what are you talking? That's not true. Where did you get that from? And they got it from a cousin or a friend or whatever. And this person is not an expert. That's not their expertise. Right. So why are you even listening to them? Do you understand? You follow me? You understand what I'm saying? And it's frustrating because we're getting bad information and we're running with it, and it's crippling us.
Okay. Uh-huh. Ms. Stearns, Brother Charles and I are considering, and I just got back, Charles, Sunday night, but you and I, we're going to hook up, as I promised. We are considering with Pastor Waller a tent-based tour where we can really focus on some of these value-based issues you're talking about. And I just see a lot of what you're saying. If we can get you to come in and give us some, you know, provide some words of encouragement, some counsel, some directions, and give some facts out about these financial matters to some of those people we may engage, the details are not quite worked out. But I think that it just sounds like that would be. What do you think about that, y'all?
I like the idea as far as definitely communicating with the youth regarding the issues, what they're trying to do. I think it's a good plan, but it's going to have to be more than one time. I think it's going to be something that has to be continuous. They really, to keep it, to keep that in mind. Continue doing that.
Absolutely.
I think it's
Well, Ms. Stearns, I would love for you to consider when we get the details right, working with us on that, because I think that would be beneficial. I like what you said. There's so many myths, truths, and myths out there about what's going on, and people never go to find the truth, and there may be a golden egg waiting on you, but you're scared to go get it.
Well, you've got some bad information. You have some bad information.
Right.
Just to give an example, Pathway Women's Business Center had a 2-year program that they put in place to help you start and build your business. And you would even partner with a mentor that already had a flourishing business. And it was free.
Okay.
Do you know we barely could get people to in the doors?
Is that right?
And it walked you through every step, how to write a business plan, how to get creative, how to get financing, how to do the accounting, how to do your, from one extreme to the next. I mean, every aspect, weekly class.
Now, Ms. Stearns, we got 11 minutes. Ms. Stearns, you done took us down the road here now. Du Bois, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote Pastor Waller in his book, Souls of Black Folk. And he described how he sacrificed and came back to Nashville to teach black folk that was out of slavery after 1866, right? And he was frustrated. In fact, he died in Accra, Ghana, because he couldn't get black people to act right, to take advantage of the opportunities that had been made available over time. He died in 1963 in Ghana because he just gave up on white America and black America to do what was right, take advantage of these things. This is where it seems like we really need to focus our attention on, first, lovingly encouraging people that don't be afraid to pull the rock. It's no snake under there. It's a golden egg waiting on it, and it's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. You don't always have to borrow. If Charles, Pastor Waller, and Sister Stearns and I put 10 cents together, that's 40 cents. We ain't got to go ask nobody for that 40 cents. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Let's put some zeros behind it. Make it $10. That's $40. Come on, somebody.
Yes,
let's make it $100. That's $400 right there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it $1,000. That's $1,000 right there. We ain't got to ask nobody for nothing. We can be our own bank, is what I'm saying.
Talking about the power of this, man. You're talking about the power of togetherness. That's what you're talking right now.
That's
40 cents, $10, $400, $1,000. You know, and it all comes from the power of togetherness, because there's power in the almighty dollar. Whether it's for good or bad, you know. The only thing I found out since I've been on this side is that a lot of people are afraid, even when they know that someone is doing a lot of work and have
right.
basically a strong and powerful solution.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that won't even walk up and say, is there anything that I can do to help you? You know, it won't matter. But in the game that I came from,
mm-hmm.
it would be that don't even know me, that heard about my
right.
name. They would send a
okay.
message and say, ask him, do he want me to come and, quote, supply him with some,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even know
mm-hmm.
me. And you got people that's inside the will of God. You got people that love God, quote, they say in church. And they know
mm-hmm.
that there's a mission that the Lord himself, you know, just made it known, made it plain. Say, go out into
mm-hmm.
the world and preach the gospel. You see, instead of waiting on them to come in, say, go out there where they are. And you talk about the tent
right.
revival and, you know, and putting up a big tent and things like that. Just think, man. If people that say that they love God would come out, because the only way they're going to please God is this. He says, have the faith. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Okay.
So he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek
him.
That's where I found out that there must be a problem going on with what they're saying.
Mm.
Because God is God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. So weigh it up. If people are talking, you're going to weigh it up, you know, because the talk is so cheap, man. And I just thank God for information, though, because you have to start somewhere. And
right.
And this is a good thing, man, that you're bringing forth. So I like the way you put that 40 cent, $40, and all of a sudden 400. Well, you know, it was 1,000 amongst just the four of us. And I use that as
That's
an
right.
example. You know, I like that was pretty powerful,
right.
man. You know,
well,
just how started.
It's not that we don't. It's not that we don't know what to do. Help me with this, Ms. Starnes. Somehow, the devil has convinced us that we ought to be afraid to do what we know is right.
That's right. Where's the faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So,
absolutely.
You know, you want to step out on faith.
My. May
yeah,
I?
How you doing, brother? 1090,
you
done came in late, 1090, but give me something, man. Give me something.
Truth. I'm only going to give you truth. At the end of the day, faith without works is dead. You know, when it comes to God, Reverend Dockery.
Yes, sir.
Good state. The scripture state show yourself approved. How
right.
do you show yourself approved? I listened to
okay.
the gentleman talking about this.
Okay. So we're talking about the road to financial freedom, managing personal finance. Ms. Starnes with the Starnes Group in Nashville has been our guest tonight. She's given us some powerful information. And what we've concluded is one step to becoming, to showing yourself approved is to study. Study what? Study the information necessary for you to make the change or behavioral changes in your life to improve your condition. In this case, we're talking about financial management. Of your personal finances in this particular case. But it is basically studying and learning, embracing knowledge so that you can change. The definition of learning is when you can measure a change in behavior after being exposed to an experience or knowledge. You know a person have learned then because you can see a measurable change in their behavior. That's really what we're talking about right now. That's really what we're talking about.
Okay.
And look,
okay,
we're down to 4 minutes. I want to give Ms. Starnes an opportunity Tell us how to reach you, Mr. Ernst. Tell us what your MyLu of services are, and we're going to work to put your information on the website so people can get it. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate you coming, and we're looking forward to partnering with you in the near future there. So why don't you take the
Absolutely.
Floor, Ms. Ernst, and tell us again about what you do there and how individuals can get in touch with you.
Absolutely, and thank you so much, Reverend Doctor. I've enjoyed the conversation. We've had some rich discussions, and I look forward to partnering
yes, ma'am.
With you guys in the future. Once again, I'm a financial literacy coach, and not only do I help individuals and businesses, I help them. We talk about the behaviors behind money management. Let's get to the root. Also, I do credit workshops, credit repair workshops, and teach people not only how to improve their credit, but how to maintain it. I also teach small businesses how to build a business credit score, because a business credit score and your personal credit score are two totally different things. And you don't want to be in a situation where you're growing your business, and you haven't worked on your personal credit, or you don't have a business credit score, and you need a loan in a large amount, and you can't get it because you haven't did your due diligence. So, and I also work with youth. I teach youth about financial literacy as well. So I'm able to cover the whole gamut. And the way that you can reach me is my telephone number is 615-593-2135. Once again, that's 615-593-2135. And I'm Shateria Starnes of the Starnes Group. And I'm excited about being with you guys this evening.
All right. We will certainly post that out on our Facebook page as well as in our Twitter feed there and continue that. Thank you again so much. Pastor Wally, you want to give us a word before we got about 2.5 minutes here before we get out of here?
Man, I just want to thank Sister Starnes, man, for bringing forth
thank
some
you.
Great information. I really, really mean that, and it was inspiring. I trust that the time will come where it would be able to make a difference, because that's how you get started, and she's done a great deed tonight. And that's somebody I just want to say thank you again, Pastor Doctor, for what you're doing. And to the caller, Brother Charles, you keep up your work, brother. All right.
And well, Ms.
Reverend
Starnes,
Doctor, I just want to say something very quickly, if you don't mind. As a bonus to your listeners tonight, my business partner and I, we have written a free ebook, and it's just the top 10 credit repair tips. And I would like to leave that with you. Actually, I'll send it to you. So if any of your listeners or anyone that you know might want, you can send it out to anyone you know. And it's just some very quick tips on how a person can actually build their credit score. And it's something that they can do themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave that with you for your guests.
Is that something we can embed into our webpage so that people can access it and that sort of thing?
It's in a PDF form, so I'm sure that you probably could upload it, and then they can click on it and download it.
All right, and we'll be sure to link that with your information. Wow, that's a blessing.
Thank you so much.
All right, but Charles, thank you for joining us tonight, man, and we're about down at about a minute now. Look, time. Just when things start to get gooder and gooder, then we have to quit. That's a shame. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight on Talk Straight, www.bfcinstitute.com. Go there, look at what we're doing, support our cause, and we're going to work to get Ms. Starnes with the Starnes Group information there for you to access that as well, and do that via Facebook. Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. for our next episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we thank you for joining us. This lady said, each tear, there is a lesson.